we will control the vertigo. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Monica Lewinsky says Bill Clinton should want to apologize, but she doesn't need it. That's such a good headline, isn't it? Yeah, she's doing this thing now. She's got Impeachment American Crime Story, 10 episodes.
10 episodes?
On FX. I don't know, is it all about her and her deep thinking?
And her blue dress?
And her thong snapping? See, to me, the whole thing was, who snapped the thong? If he snapped the thong, that's a crime.
Oh.
If she snapped the thong, it's not a crime. It's just her being Monica. Excuse me. Monica Lewinsky is past the point of needing an apology from former President Bill Clinton. Past the point. Well, that took a while. When was that? You remember when Clinton
point
was president,
no
right? Second term of Clinton presidency? 98. Wow. What is the year now? Let's someone do the math real quick on that.
Years.
How many years?
23.
It was in the
23
last,
years later,
it was
and
in
she's
the last century.
Pretty not quite over it. Enough. She wants to do a thing on FX for 10 episodes to show how she's not over it. What?
Almost over it.
I mean, whose fault? I don't. However, you should want to apologize in the same way I want to apologize any chance I get to people who my actions have hurt. Well, would he be one of those people? No. Yeah, she played on his weaknesses, I think, you know.
Yes.
I would have to say. I'm not excusing it, that behavior.
No.
Impeachment American Crime Story, limited TV series about the sex scandal that nearly ended Clinton's presidency.
Nearly.
Yeah. Where in the Constitution or anywhere else, on a wall in Samaria and in relief, does it say that this sort of thing, whether you want to call it sex or not, is grounds for impeachment in the American presidency.
Yeah.
Anything. Founding fathers, none of them would have served.
Nope.
Are you kidding? They did a lot worse than that. I'm nervous for people to see some of the worst moments of my life and a lot of behavior that I regret. I've really worn two hats in this project.
Well. I didn't know she wore any hats.
She's producing it, I guess, or something.
Do with it.
Realizes many scenes are cringeworthy. Well, then I better watch. It'll be like on Netflix. On Netflix, they'd have cringeworthy, romantic. You know, they have those three words that describe everything on Netflix, and they're always the wrong words. Telemundo, cringeworthy, romantic. I guess the most important thing is that scientists are still learning cool new things about gooey hagfish slime. Okay, how old was the guy who wrote this? 12?
What was that again?
Scientists are still learning cool new things about gooey hagfish slime.
Hagfish slime?
Yes. I don't know what this was in, but this guy should not be working yet.
No.
It's against the law for him to be working.
Well, he's only 12.
Yeah, he's 12. Meet the humble hagfish, an ugly gray eel-like creature. Anyone ever seen a hagfish? Okay. affectionately known as a snot snake because of its unique defense mechanism. Well, let's hear about that.
Oh, that fish.
The hagfish can unleash a full liter of sticky slime from pores located, you know this fish?
I remember reading about it years ago.
Yeah. Located all over its body in less than 1 second.
Yeah.
A liter in less than 1 second. Don't we all wish? Don't we all wish we could? That's sufficient to, say, clog the gills of a predatory shark, suffocating the would-be predator.
Yeah.
A new paper published in the journal Current Biology.
Oh.
Well, if it would be a new paper if it's in Current Biology.
Should be.
Some of this should have been edited out. Especially cool. Reports that the slime produced by larger hagfish contains much larger cells than slime produced by smaller hagfish, an unusual example of cell size scaling with body size in nature.
Hmm.
I don't think that's unusual. And I'm not saying what we're talking about here. But there's a big difference in output from among due to size. As we've reported previously, scientists... Oh, we have?
Well.
Well, that I wouldn't even say that, would... Why would we say that? I'm going to edit this as we go here. Just start with scientists have been studying hagfish slime for years because it's such an unusual material. It's not like mucus.
No?
No.
Mm-mm.
Did you think it was?
I didn't know.
How many of you thought, that's like mucus? Not. It's very unlike mucus. Ask Monica Lewinsky. Which dries out... Excuse me. Oh, that's very nice. Speaking of mucus, geez. That was about a liter right there.
Innuendo.
Oh, my God. Innuendo and out the nose. Hagfish. Okay. It's not like mucus, which dries out and hardens over time. I've often found that about me. So disappointing that your mucus hardens over time. Hagfish slime stays slimy, giving it the consistency of half-solidified gelatin. Oh. That's due to long, thread-like fibers in the slime, in addition to the proteins and sugars that make up mucin, the other major component.
Oh. Okay.
So mucilage comes from mucin. Huh? So we learned something there.
Probably get it.
So this experience is deductible, ladies and gentlemen, to the full extent of the law. Mucin. These fibers coil up into skeins that resemble balls of yarn. Okay. Carol, you in on this now? Get off the fucking Facebook.
I'm saying nice things.
I don't care. Why are you Facebooking during the... Oh, yeah, good. Okay, leave it down there. Pick up your phone. I know you're naked without it or whatever. Resemble balls of yarn. When the hagfish lets loose with a shot of slime, the skeins uncoil and combine with the salt water, blowing up more than 10,000 times its original... All in 1 second.
In 1 second?
Yeah.
A twinkling of an eye.
From a material standpoint... And really, you have to look at it that way more than anything. Hagfish slime is fascinating stuff. Once again, this... That's a stupid sentence. First of all, the stuff.
Oh.
You know, you can find some way of saying that it sounds a little more elegant or scientific.
Or slimy.
In 2016, a group of Swiss researchers studied the unusual fluid properties of hagfish slime. See, that's a good way of saying it. Specifically, focusing on how those properties provided two distinct advantages. Colon... Helping the animal defend itself from predators and tying itself in knots to escape from its own slime.
Huh.
Okay, I can see how that would help you to defend yourself from predators, but why tying yourself into knots to escape from your own slime?
Well, maybe that's going a little far.
You think so?
Tying themselves into knots? You think they can do that?
Yeah. Well, it looks like I don't have the picture here.
Oh.
But it looks like a snake or an eel. Doesn't look like a fish at all. I think it's wrong to even call it a fish.
It's misnamed.
The hag eel. Eel hag. Whatever, something like that. But that sounds pejorative. They found fluid flow. Fluid flow. Now, really, it's about fluid flow. So how many fluid of you flow. Are in fluid flow or studied materials? Did you study fluid flow? That's a whole branch of...
hydraulic engineering.
Yes, definitely. Oh, that... It's crucial
that
to hydraulic.
That sounds better than fluid flow.
Fluid flow, yeah. You're going to screw it up at some point, too. Fluid flow. That's pretty good. Flowing liquid.
Well, that makes sense.
They found that different types of fluid flow affect the overall viscosity of the slime. Viscosity is the key word
there.
Well,
there you go.
Viscosity is some pretty cool stuff. A flowing liquid is essentially a series of layers sliding past one another. The faster one layer slides over another, the more resistance there is, and the slower the sliding, the less resistance there is.
Well, I don't know.
As I wrote for Gizmodo at the time, it's not about you. It's about slime. Hagfish slime is an example of non-Newtonian fluid in which the viscosity changes in response to an applied strain of shearing force. Applying a strain or a shearing force will increase viscosity. In the case of ketchup, for example.
Ketchup?
or decrease it. Like non-drip paint that brushes on easily but becomes more viscous once it's on the wall. Hagfish slime can be both. So it can be non-drip paint and ketchup.
Well,
apparently what it says. It turns out that the suction... I can't read it. Anymore.
It's this very
useful. So badly written. It's fascinating. And just to update, you know, this tardigrade thing.
The what?
I thought it was over last week. We discussed it for third time. The tardigrade, those little ugly animals that look like little prehistoric things, which they are.
Oh, those
and they're,
things.
They're micro animals, and they will never die, and you can't stop them out, and they'll be the last things living on the planet.
Yeah? They're back?
No. However, tardigrade, I mean, they're back. They're here. They're here now. They were there now. They will be.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Tardigrades will have the last laugh.
They're in the news.
Yes.
Okay.
If you'd let me get to it.
Nonsense.
Tardigrade discovered in 16-million-year-old amber, a once-in-a-generation find. This is what it looks like in the amber. It doesn't look like a once-in-a-generation find. It looks like, God, I don't know what it looks.
Doesn't look like anything.
But that is actually a tardigrade, that little creepy animal. Look it up. You, those of you at home, if anybody is there, look it up. And you see a picture and you say, yeah, you know, feel like I've seen these around, but you can't even see them by naked eye. A long, long time ago, a minuscule animal met its end in a sticky trap of tree resin 16 million years later.
Well, it's quite a few years.
See if Monica Lewinsky needs an apology after that.
Yeah.
That tiny tardigrade fossil was discovered in Dominican amber is now something of a science celebrity. Talk about a glow-up. I got to edit all these guys and all these kids who are doing this. The fossil tardigrade is remarkable for its rarity in being a new species in a new genus.
Well.
Tardigrades are known as water bears due to their appearance when seen under a microscope. They're nearly invincible, able to survive exposure in space, and even being shot out of a gas gun. Yeah, they put them up in space, shot out of a gas gun.
Wow.
Stuff that would cause us some
conflict. Circus.
What?
They could work the circus, being shot out of a gun.
Yeah, but you'd have to, you know.
A little tiny
not
one.
Not like a flea circus.
Hey, a flea
even
circus.
Even smaller.
Why not?
Did you ever see a flea circus?
No.
I just seen it in cartoons, you know.
Yes.
They do. All right, let's close with this. While more tardigrade fossils may yet be found in other amber samples, it's a challenging mission, according to this guy, Barden. You could spend the rest of your life screening through amber and never find one.
Well,
does that call you up a little short?
It's a lot of amber.
Oh, this is, I don't know if this is good or not, but you know, all the pandemic aid that went for COVID preparation for schools.
And it somehow evaporated.
No, even better than that. When school officials in Whitewater, Wisconsin learned they would be getting $2 million in pandemic relief this year, they decided to use most of it to cover their current budget, freeing up $1.6 million in local funding to build new synthetic turf fields for football, baseball, and softball. So three sports benefited from COVID relief.
What more could be fairer?
Athletics, this is at Whitewater High. Athletics officials in the district of 1,800 students said the project was sorely needed to replace fields prone to heavy flooding. They touted the federal money as a chance to solve the problem without asking local taxpayers for funding. If we don't do it now with this money, I'm not sure when we would ever do something like this, athletic director Justin Crandall told the school board in May. I don't see us being a district that would go to a referendum for turf fields.
I guess not.
Thank God for COVID-19 came in the nick of time. Two school board members objected, with one raising concerns that just $400,000 was being used to address student learning loss. The board approved the plan over those objections, and the new football field had its grand opening in September.
Well.
District Superintendent Caroline Pate Hefty, despite having a hyphen in her name, declined to answer questions about the project. So there you have it. And finally, you can stop putting spider silk on your wounds. Anyone here? Spider silk wounds? No? I never did either.
Never heard of this.
Were you putting spider silk
on?
No.
It sounds terrible.
Apparently, there is some mythological thing about spider silk having antibacterial properties. And they put on, you have to wait for the spider to, you know, it's, it could, you know, if it's a,
could be a while. You could be,
if it's a major wound, you know, the spider, I mean, they're very methodical and they,
yeah, you're going to bleed
right,
to
come
death.
Come on already. I've been here for 2.5 hours and you got to.
You'll bleed to death by that time.
Yeah, I know. Spider silk may not be as magical a substance as we've been led to believe.
I wasn't led to believe it.
Anyone here led to believe that? No. Any of you out there led to believe that? new research suggests scientists looked closely at the silk of several different spiders but were unable to find any antimicrobial. How do you say that as one word? What?
Microbial.
Well, thank you. Antimicrobial. Huh? We'll just put that. I'll drop out the first part. Yeah. Properties. The researchers say their findings could throw into question past claims of finding bacteria fighting spider silk and that antibiotic silk should be considered nothing more than a myth.
Well,
Lyle?
It puts an end to that.
By the way, in today's show, we've got a great show. Ishtar and we have Ishtar and Urban Meyer Tar, two sex gods.
Urban Meyer.
And I also brought, because I know Ishtar is, this is pretty. I love that
Breaking
you're doing
news.
Ishtar. What made you decide to go with the whole sexual thing?
Because sex is always popular.
Yeah, good, good. I'm glad you're finally catching on to this broadcasting business. And Ishtar, we have an argument going about, you know, if this is actually this. This
yeah,
if this is Ishtar.
Not Ishtar. It's your sister.
No, it's definitely Ishtar, I think.
Not according to Google.
If it's real. You know, they found it and they don't know where it came from because it was stolen and it's now in the British Museum or somewhere. Yeah, it's the most popular exhibit now at the British Museum. We still don't know who she is, but I think she's Ishtar. It's,
well, others claim
Ishtar, the queen of heaven. She's got the wings. She's got the bird feet. She's got the everything else.
Yeah, but she's got the skulls there, you know, for the underworld. So it's probably her sister.
She was also a queen of the underworld because she took it over from her sister. I mean, I read a lot of this
stuff. So she was wearing two hats.
And yeah, what, owls and stuff. You know, these things don't. She's standing on top of the lions.
Oh, well, that
did
was,
you notice that?
I couldn't see that.
That's why you need bird feet for this situation.
Yeah, you would.
So I think it is. We have a disagreement over that. But to me, that's
insoluble.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll get to all
now,
that.
How does this have to do with Urban Meyer?
Oh, a lot.
Well.
Like a one-to-one relationship, Urban Meyer and
Ishtar. Who knew?
Venus, if you will. Please bring a little girl
Venus
for me to thrill.
Into this too.
What?
How did, now Venus, we're bringing
That's
her
another
into
name the for Ishtar.
Venus?
Didn't you do your research on this?
Venus is not another name for Ishtar.
Yes, it is.
Originally, a start, maybe, but
no, no. She was then Greco-fied, or whatever that would be. Is Venus.
Huh.
You know.
And then they put her up in a...
The Greeks, you know, renamed everything from the Sumerians.
Yeah, well.
And then the Romans
renamed
took
all
and renamed the Greeks.
Back again, yeah.
We need to rename the Roman things, I guess. Romans, Venus probably Roman.
These people just could never make up their minds.
Or Frankie Avalon, one of the two.
Well, there's...
So, yeah, Ishtar and Urban Meyer Tar, and also the I brought...
Oh,
this is
Whoa.
The Sexual Relations of Mankind by Paolo Montegazzo, who was the Marco Polo of sex. And
he
this
was.
Is direct from between the bed springs of my parental bed. Because, you know, when you're a kid and you're a boy, you find all the stuff that they hide. And you know, fortunately, there were no guns. But this
yeah.
was better
so
than
no
any
gun.
No gun
holds.
Purchase of the wife and marriage. When you're a kid and you're just like
purchase?
10 years old, and you want to know how does sex work. Mutilation of the genitals, fabulous. Limitations of choice. Sexual relations of mankind. Nuptial huts.
Huts?
I spent like the first 20 years of my life looking for a nuptial hut.
You did?
Because that Paolo Montegazzo says that's how it works. But anyway, I brought along, and there's something in here on Ishtar.
Is there anything about Urban Meyer in there?
By, you know, association. I don't know why this was under my parents, between my parents. I mean, did they read this at night for inspiration? I can't even.
Sounds a little uncomfortable. Like the princess and the pea.
No, they didn't know it was there. I mean, they knew it was there, and so did I. I grabbed it as soon as there was a chance. Ooh, there's something in here. Look, at, I left something in.
A love letter. It's from Monica Lewinsky.
The naked nail. Oh, this is something I wrote when I look at my slant. Wasn't it good?
You wrote when you were 12 years old?
A little older. it might have been 12, actually. I worked on my slant because my dad had his aunt, David A. Feldman. I loved it, and it went like this. Yeah. And, you know, when you're learning how to write cursive and stuff, you go pretty much up and down. So I really started slanting, like almost horizontal on my slant. The naked nate, or the bizarre and unnatural aspects of human sexuality as seen in everyday life. Paolo Montegazzo, I wrote a book report on it.
Oh.
Paolo Montegazzo and the sexual relations of mankind has grown, given us glimpses of the perversity and unnaturalness in sexuality, which we have all come to know and love in other social relationships.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I haven't changed at all. In the that's kind of upsetting. In, her, in his preface to the first edition published by Eugenics Publishing Company, 1937, Eugenics is not a good word. Yes. Signor Montegazzo, who by persuasion is an Italian, notes that the volume completes the Trilogia dell'Amore, or Love Trilogy, the first two being the Physiologia and the Igiene dell'Amore, Physiology and Hygiene. Signor, I don't know why I'm saying signor here. Montegazzo suggests that the reader, upon completion of the volume, or in the midst, may feel like shedding a few tears, as indeed he has done in the writing of it. I think that's all I got, that book report.
Made him cry?
I can't finish this. What?
It made him cry?
Yes, he did. Yes, Carol? What's the name of the book? You'll never find it, so don't even think about it. Keep your hands off my... Huh?
It's probably in a library somewhere.
No, somebody does want to know the name of the book.
I don't care. Get off Facebook. What do you think? I'm playing to somebody on Facebook? I'm not. I'm glad God loved them and God grant them the sexual. Oh, there's another thing in here. All right. Donald Trump is now beneath the planet of the Forbes 400. He's about 100 steps below Charli D'Amelio, the TikTok dancer who, despite her eating disorder, has a drink named after her at Dunkin' Donuts. Trump does not. In fact, he's going down slow.
Man, you know I done enjoyed things that kings and queens will never have. In fact, kings and queens can't never get. And they don't even know about it. And good times. Fading on.
Donald.
Now look a here. I did not say I was a millionaire, but I said I have spent more money than a millionaire. Cause if I had kept all the money that I'd already spent, I would have been a millionaire a long time ago. And women, red googly movement.
Down slow for a DJT. Howlin' Wolf, the great Howlin' Wolf. Hmm. Amazing. Other Donald Trump news. I regret I have but one subpoena to defy for my Donald. Whatever else you can say about Trump, he knows how to train aides. Now, these guys have cyanide pills under their tongues. And they can chew gum at the same time. Hmm. Fortunately, of course, Steve Bannon can be tracked from space, so I'll be able to keep track of him. McConnell gives Biden until December to beat himself about the head 3.5 trillion times. Anyway, it'd be nice to end the Republic with the family at Christmas. Urban Meyer addressed the woman sitting on his thing to the Jaguars at a team meeting. Mm. Most of the team said they knew her, so they took it well. And so does she. Meyer said that he was stupid to put himself in that position, literally. But he just can't resist back that as up. This is Juvenile with Urban Meyer. All right, you get the idea. That's Juvenile with Urban Meyer. Yeah, back that ass up, which is what Urban was doing in that club. The Facebook thing continues to blow up. I'm really glad I stayed with MySpace for all these years, you know. I only have about three friends on MySpace. They call them buddies. Two may have passed on, but they've been very loyal over the years. In other news, a six-year-old finds mastodon tooth in Michigan Nature Preserve, still gets only a buck after putting it under his pillow. Looking through the exoplanet listings, there's a lot of them available now, increasing number. The climate varies a lot in the weather, especially. For example, it rains diamonds deep in Uranus. Rains glass on HD189733B. Rubies and sapphires on HATP-7B. And it rains iron on WASP, WASP-76B. So it all depends on what you're looking for climate-wise. Honey, okay, it's an ultra-hot Jupiter exoplanet, and there's lake frontage, although methane. But it rains rubies and sapphires. We're there. 2,700-year-old toilet found in Jerusalem with the seat up. 1,300-year-old ski found in melting snow on Norwegian mountaintop. Other ones still missing. Horned crocodile-faced hell heron spinosaurid dinosaur found in the Isle of Wight. They're still looking for the mate on that one, too. It's hard to mate when you're named horned crocodile-faced hell heron spinosaurid, you know. Reviews. So you don't want to, you don't have to watch The Many Saints of Newark, which is the prequel to The Sopranos. This synopsis, Tony was already overweight as a kid. His mom was nuts from the get-go, and there was not one single saint in Newark. I can tell you that, if that's what you're looking for. How about in the May Have news? A few things here. That's about all I got. In the May Have news, a magnetic field reversal 42,000 years ago may have contributed to mass extinctions.
Really?
Space rocks may have bounced off baby Earth but slammed into Venus. And giant ground sloths may have been meat-eating scavengers. So there you have it in all the May Have news.
The sloths.
Anyhow, so the main thing, main business today, anyway, is Ishtar and Urban Meyer Tar, and we covered Urban Meyer Tar. And tell us about how does your interest arise in Ishtar, also known as Venus, also known as Aphrodite, also known as, there's another name for it.
Astarte.
Too. Huh?
Astarte.
Astarte?
Yeah, that was another name.
Really?
For her.
Yeah, amazing.
She used many aliases.
Yeah.
Maybe she got in trouble a lot. Who knew?
Very, very powerful god, by the way.
Yes, apparently.
Yeah. Well, let's hear all about it. What do you entitle this treatise?
Sacred Sex Among Varied Sects.
Oh, catchy. Lyle
Anderson. And bold.
Yeah.
Was Ishtar, or Ishtar, tomato, tomato, anything other than a really bad movie or a cinematic masterpiece in which Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman play Simon and Garfunkel playing the Sahara redundant desert? And if so, is it like a country or a municipality? Or
no, see, you know why it's not redundant? Because we're talking about the Sahara Club, playing the club, like they're playing a club in Las Vegas.
That would be the desert
Sahara
club.
Then it would be, no, the Sahara, in quotes, desert. That was a movie.
That would be too much.
You're saying you like that movie, though.
No, I've never even seen it.
Oh, okay. It was terrible. They sang, and it was terrible.
Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman sang?
Yeah, they were like Simon and Garfunkel, like a singing duo.
Oh, yeah, I guess they were, yeah.
Yeah.
And they went makes no sense.
To Ishtar, country of Ishtar.
Oh, she became a country by that point.
I mean, it was a mythological name of a mythological country. And we're going to find out who Ishtar was.
In point of fact, Ishtar, born in Anna, is the ancient Mesopotamian goddess associated with love, beauty, sex, war, justice, and political power.
That's a lot.
Who was worshipped in the Sumeria, Akkadia, Babylon, and Assyria. Huh. She got around. Ishtar had many areas of expertise, the heart of which was as the Queen of Heaven in the Ayana Temple, her main cult center at Uruk. What distinguished her and made Ayana the place to be for the growing numbers of the faithful was the unusually sexual nature of her rites, a kind of sacred prostitution, paid intercourse in the context of religious worship. Like, that's never happened.
So is this like a Monica Lewinsky sort of
thing? Very much like, yeah. It's the prequel to Monica's story. Okay. This practice is a kind of fertility rite or divine marriage, sacred sex, if you will. For the rank and file, there was very little divine about it. Every woman in the land was compelled by custom to report to the temple of Aphrodite and make herself available to a complete stranger. She is paid, yes, but at his discretion. Could be shekels or a sheaf of barley. In Sumerian Hieros Gamos, sacred marriage, the king of Sumer, was obligated to wed and bed a stand-in for Ishtar herself every year on the 10th day of the New Year festival, Akitu.
That could get old.
It could. It was the portrayal of this and similar rites that made Sir James George Frazer's magnum opus, The Golden Bough, a study in comparative religion. Maybe that's the book you held up earlier.
No.
It's no?
Not.
No. Okay.
This was the good one. This was a ripoff.
Anyway, The Golden Bough flew off the shelves in the early 1900s, providing dowry, sexual rite, and public bridal defloration parlor talk. But Ishtar was more than just the champion of not-so-free love, lording over the largest body of mythology and domains of any Sumerian deity, all of which she wrestled away from other deities. For example, one story has her stealing the mice, representing the power that comprises all the aspects of a civilization, religious practices, technologies, behaviors, mores, and human conditions, from Enki, the god of wisdom.
The mice?
The mice. In another story, Ishtar takes over the Eanna temple from An, god of the sky, making her enforcer of divine justice. When Mount Elba defied her authority, she leveled it. Speaking of the dangers of defying Ishtar, after her overture for a little sacred sex was rejected by Gilgamesh, Ishtar unleashed the bull of heaven, which results in the death of his ally Enkidu and leaves Gilgamesh looking over his shoulder for the rest of his days. The showstopper, though, is Ishtar's descent and return from Kur, the Mesopotamian underworld, where she attempted to unseat her sister Eresh-Kugal, who was queen of the same. All hell breaks loose after the attempt, and the seven judges of the underworld convict her of hubris and slay her with no hope of resurrection. Enki, the god of magic and incantations, sends two sexless beings, just the way it was done, to escort her out of the underworld, and ultimately victorious, Ishtar reigns once again as Ninanak, Lady of Heaven, which she remains to this day. And that's our Person of the Week.
It's for you, Lyle. Thanks, man. Love the Ishtar thing. Keep it coming. Thank you all for listening or watching, whatever you did. Facebooking.